This is part two of the interview with Rob Levy.
How do you provide showing feedback to your sellers and how often?
I use an automated system where basically every showing that happens syncs with a lockbox, and then the email system sends out an email to the agent asking for feedback. If the agent doesn't give us feedback, it notifies me and I call them and get feedback. And then when it happens, if you were to fill out a feedback form right now as a showing agent, that's going to blast out to Mr. Seller, Mrs. Seller, and me all at the same time. And I show them that up front. I say, this is how it's going to work. And I explain that you're going to get emails from a system that I use, that some of these aren't going to be complimentary. And if you've got a dirty red rug in the dining room, they might say, there's a filthy red rug in the dining room. But we need to know those things, because we need to know what buyers think of your home. And that's the best way to find out. I'm not buying your house, and you're not buying your house, and you're incredibly biased. It really isn't important what you think. It's what actual buyers looking in this neighborhood, in this price range, for this type of house, are thinking. And that type of feedback we're going to get you.
Who negotiates the offer when you receive an offer on one of your listings?
99% of the time I do that. I'm a bit of a control freak. And in my team, I pretty much handle the listing stuff. The buyer's agents handle the buyer side. So on one of my listings, unless I'm not available, I'm going to be handling it.
Who handles your inspection negotiation?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes Kathy, my assistant, does. It kind of depends if I'm in town or if I've got another appointment or something like that. So kind of half and half.
I think you mentioned earlier, you try to attend all your closings?
I do. I really do the very best that I can. Unless I'm out of town or it's a last-minute closing that got thrown in at the last second, I try to always be there because it's just a great opportunity to ask for more business.
Let's switch gears and talk about buyers. How many buyers are you and your team currently working with?
Well, like I said earlier, electronically, it's well over 4,000. I just gave you the exact number I looked up right before the call, and I've forgotten it already.
But, 4,330.
4,330. That's how many we're currently working with electronically. In reality, right now, we track it in our system, and I think right now we've got about 21, 22 buyers in various stages, not counting pending deals, that they're working with, or somebody's planning on coming here 2 weeks from Tuesday or something to look at homes. And that's with two buyer's agents. I keep them pretty busy. You mentioned at the beginning of the call we sold less than 100 homes. Normally I sell more than 100 homes. Last year was, you know, definitely an off year.
Do you require a buyer to sit down and meet with you and your team before you'll show them homes?
Yes and no. We kind of cover most of the city. Portland's interesting in the size of the city. It's like a little big city or a big small town. But it doesn't necessarily make sense to bring them here if we're looking at houses 30 minutes away. So if we can, we'll have them come in, and my buyer's agents know that they try to get people to come in during the day, and they'll bring them into our office and introduce them to everybody. I mean, Aaron, the photography guy, to Kathy, my assistant, to, if it's Tamara, one of my buyer's agents, she's going to introduce her to Bobby, the other buyer's agent, and just say, if anything happens where, you know, I'm not available right when you need me, Bobby's here, and this is Rob, he oversees everything, and we let them know that, you know, they've got an entire team looking out for them. You know, one of the things I do in my listing presentations, I actually bring that up and say, I've got a picture of my team, and I say, you know, there's five of us, and really we should be charging five times the commission rate, but you get all five of us for one fee. I think it's very important to let them know that they've got a whole team. I mean, this is a business. I'm trying to portray a business attitude, and they've got a whole team looking after them. So we bring them in, and we do that, and we do a consultation. We really don't take anybody out unless they've already talked to our lender. We've gotten them at least not necessarily approved, but pre-qualified and stuff. And, you know, try and do a lot of that legwork beforehand. I don't want to waste their time, and I don't want them wasting our time either.
In Oregon, do you practice buyer agency or buyer brokerage?
Yeah, we do. We either represent the buyer or the seller. We are allowed to represent both on our own listings with prior disclosure. We do use a buyer brokerage agreement on the majority of our buyers. What we find is we do the initial consult, and then we show them a few houses. And at that point, we basically say, look, you know, we're going to be committed to helping you find the house. It seems like our relationship's going pretty good. We would like to show you this form, and this commits you to working with us, and us committed to working with you to help you find a home. And most of the time, they'll sign that form. And the way that I look at it is you'd never list a house without a listing agreement. Why would you shop some buyer around town for 3 days without some sort of a commitment from them that they're going to buy a house from you?
Did you mention that you will show them a few houses before you require that to be signed?
Sometimes. Probably 50% of the time, I feel like you got to give them a test drive, so to speak. We're not going to drive them all over town all day long looking at houses, though. I mean, we'll look at three or four homes and then talk about it. There are exceptions to everything we've talked about on this whole interview. We've got to be flexible sometimes and kind of work with different sets of people.
Could you please list the positions you have on your team and the tasks that they're responsible for?
Sure. I call myself the team leader. I pretty much handle all of the listings, the negotiating of the listings. Sometimes I get involved with offers with my buyer's agents and stuff, and just running the day-to-day operations of the team. I have Kathy. She's a wonderful assistant. And by the way, I'm kind of a, as you can probably tell by the interview, I'm an I and a D type personality. And I've got Kathy, and she's very calming, very thorough, doesn't miss anything. And she's the perfect person to have in there as my lead admin person. And she's the one that makes sure that this giant stack of papers we just threw on her desk and ran out the doors has got all the initials and everything in the right place. I know this is slightly off subject, but we use DocuSign on pretty much everything we do. So whenever a buyer's agent or myself is getting something signed, Kathy's always on there as a CC. So she always gets copies of our stuff that comes into her. That's the good news. The bad news is bits and pieces come in at different times. So we also make sure we always sit down every couple of days and have a meeting and go over every transaction and where we are. We have two buyer's agents, Tamara and Bobby, and all that they focus on are buyers, and that's part of the pitch when I'm talking to somebody. I just picked up the phone and I was talking to you, and I'll say, you know, Mike, this is the way that we work. We have a team, and I've got Bobby and Tamara on my team. They're both native Portlanders. They've both been in the business close to 15 years. They're extremely knowledgeable on the market, and they're going to be working with you. And then we have Aaron, and he is kind of our gopher guy, does a lot of video stuff. Yesterday, he picked up a key on a house that was going into foreclosure. He put a key in a new listing where we had to have the front door lock rekeyed. He went and took pictures of a new house that came on the market and put it on all the websites and the MLS and created the flyer and blah, 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 blah. So the team approach is good. I think sellers like to know that we're running this as a business. And part of the way that I use that in a listing presentation is I say, you know, here's the picture of my team. We operate as a team. There are other realtors that are actually going to say, well, I know Rob Levy. One of the problems with Rob is when you call, you're not always going to get him. And there's things that I have to say to that, by the way. Don't be afraid to have a team because you're a control freak. People come to me because of the values that I represent, not necessarily for me. So as long as I surround myself with people that represent the same values that I do, my clients are going to be happy.
How do you compensate these people?
In the state of Oregon, basically, if you breathe the word real estate, you've got to have a license. So nobody's on my team without a license, except for Aaron, kind of my gopher guy. The buyer's agents are split 50-50 with buyer deals. So I'll generate the leads, they turn them into deals, and they're paid 50% of the commission after whatever comes off the top. So Mother Prue gets a piece, for instance, or maybe a referring agent or something like that. If they sell one of my listings, they get 55%. So there's an encouragement there to push my own listings. And then if they bring in their own person, somebody they met at an open house or their sister's second cousin's best friend, they get 60%. And then Kathy, we used to do on a bonus system, but she just prefers getting a regular salary all the time. I pay her very well. She does a very good job. She's extremely thorough, and she's very loyal. And I find that if I'm very loyal to my team, they're very loyal to me.
The runner?
He's paid just on an hourly basis. I can't bonus him because he's not licensed.
When you hire buyer agents, do you prefer experienced agents or inexperienced?
That's a really good question. I had a very stable team for a very long time. One person was with me 13 years, one was with me 7 years, and two of them kind of took off and went off on their own. And I tried a couple of new agents. One of the slogans that I use is, now more than ever, experience counts. So I found that the new agents don't have the experience. And, you know, those of us that have weathered a couple of downturns before, we can be of greater help to our clients. So what I found in both cases, Tamara and Bobby are experienced agents, 15 and I think 17 years in the business, and they were kind of floundering a little bit, and it wasn't due to lack of skills. It was due to lack of marketing skills and stuff like that. So they see it's wonderful that I'm generating the leads for them, and they can actually go out and do what they do best, which is showing houses and writing deals. And for that, I need experienced agents, and I find that works the best for me.
Do you have any kind of quota system in place for your buyer agents? Do they have to close a certain number of transactions either per month or per year?
You know, you're going to tell me off for this, because it goes against everything, and you're going to laugh. In all the years I've been doing this, I don't even use a business plan. And there are people on this call just crying right now, I'm sure. It's just me. I just don't feel like if I say we're going to do 125 units this year and I'm at 123 on December the 23rd, that I'm going to push a couple of, I don't want to be enticed to push a couple of people into some houses. And to me, it's like the only thing that we have to sell are time and expertise. And I just think if we do our job right, all of this stuff falls into place. To directly answer your question on how I do that with my buyer's agents, we have weekly meetings. They always know that I'm available. They can text me, email me, whatever. And I go over with them and I kind of coach them on transactions they're involved with. And let's take a look at your leads and let's figure out who to put in the A spot and the B spot and the C spot and stuff like that. And I think as long as I do that, they're continually moving. We don't really need to have draw quotas. I mean, if somebody's not going to be a worker, I don't want them working with my team anyway.
Are you profitable?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. I mean, I do believe in paying well. Some people might say, based on what I said, that I'm overpaying. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to take advantage of people. These people work hard. We work as a group. We do fun things together outside of real estate. It needs to be shared. So I might be a little less profitable than some of my competitors, but I've got an incredibly loyal team, and we have a lot of fun, and we take care of people. So I'm okay with that.
There are going to be some agents who are trying to plan. Could you help them out by giving them a profit margin percentage that you've either been able to achieve or is an objective?
Well, it's all gone to hell in a handbasket in the last couple of years because of the whole short sale thing. So all of a sudden, we found that we've gotten ourselves into a situation where we're doing a massive amount of work getting these short sale listings sold and making half the money because the prices have dropped. So I can't give you exact profit numbers, but what I can say is this. Move into it slowly. First off, I really believe that once you get to a certain point, if you don't have an assistant, you are one. And you really need to sit down and try and figure out, okay, how much money do I make an hour? If you're supposed to be making $100 an hour, you figure, and you're doing $15 an hour work, then it doesn't make any sense for you to do that. So the first step that I'd advise to people is maybe talk to another agent in your office and share an assistant. Or there's virtual assistants, both onshore and offshore. There's several companies around. Just Google real estate virtual assistants, and you'll see them popping up. And now there's some offshore stuff, too. Google that as well. I forget a couple of names. I know of a case of a company in the Philippines that are doing virtual assistant work. There's an agent in our office that have two people full-time in the Philippines doing their work, and I believe it's $6 an hour. So there's very inexpensive ways of getting into this. You know, do check with your broker. Do make sure you're not breaking any licensing laws and stuff like that. But to me, that makes sense. You know, focus on what you do the very best, and you will be profitable.
How do you keep control of your time?
Being the techie nerd that I am, I believe that technology helps me with that a great way. On the one hand, using technology makes you too available, and it's too easy to just answer everybody's phone call and stuff like that. I generally don't give out my cell phone, but my voicemails come into my email, and I can play them on my cell phone. And my wife and I kind of have a deal going. She knows I'm kind of a little bit of a workaholic and she keeps me under control. But by the same token, if we're on vacation or something, I mean, I'll check in the morning and check in the afternoon. And we've become pretty good at the vacation thing. We took off 7 weeks this year. My plan is to do 8 weeks next year. We have a house on the Oregon coast and a house in Palm Springs. But one of the lucky things with me is I sleep about 5 hours a night and she sleeps about eight. So I can get up in the morning and do a bit of work before she gets up. And then I'll check in the afternoon. One of the things I did do a while back with my team that's worked very well that I learned from a buddy of mine is empower them to make decisions. First off, everybody on my team knows that they can write a check without questioning me for up to $250 for anything. Stuff happens, you know? I mean, you forget to mention that there was a broken disposal in a house or something like that. Once I did that, nobody does it. I probably write two or three a year, and I'm okay with that. The second thing is Bev and I just got back from 2 weeks in Portugal, and you know that's 9 time zones away from Portland, Oregon. And I had my iPad and stuff, and I was connected, and we have our iPhones, and we use AT&T. We do a lot of world traveling, and that works everywhere in the world. And I said, look, you guys can call me anytime you want, but here's what I'm asking you to do first. You're all super great at what you do. You're the best of the best. Meet amongst yourselves. Come up with a problem. Describe 3 possible solutions. Figure out which solution you think is going to be the best solution to that problem. And if you don't think that's going to work, then give me a call. They never call, because by the time they've done all that, they've figured out the answer. So I'm able to balance it that way as well. But I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I don't think real estate all the time. I am. I like it. I love what I do. And it's hard to break away from it. But like I said, I'm able to turn it off for at least set blocks of hours at a time when I'm on vacation.
How many hours do you think you work in a typical week?
I'm probably a 60-hour-a-week guy. But it's not necessarily all day, every day. I do love to cook, and I come home, and my wife, She started her career after raising our three boys, and they all went to college, and they all came back from college unemployed, and now they're finally all gone, and my joke is the boys are gone, the dogs died, life has begun. And she and I have always been big Pacific Northwest art collectors, and she opened her own art gallery 2 years ago, and I need to support her. She was always there to support me. So I come home, and my goal every day is to have a really cool meal ready for her. And then after dinner sometimes, she knows I'll spend another hour sitting there with my face stuffed in the iPad just emailing this or searching that. And, you know, it kind of works in spits and spurts. It works.
Do you work the weekend?
On and off. It just kind of depends. I will sometimes go on appointments on Saturdays and stuff. She works on Saturdays till 3 at her gallery, so I'll book some appointments for Saturday morning, Saturday lunchtime, something like that. But I will do my best to spend quality time with her as well and with my boys.
Do you run any affiliated business?
I do have an affiliated business. I was very lucky in that about 7 years ago, I connected up with a good friend of mine. At the time, he was Remax's top guy in Eugene, and he's now with Keller Williams. And I was Prudential's top guy in Portland, and I'm still with Prudential. But we're in markets that are about 110 miles apart, so we started sharing ideas. And this is where we came up with the whole stealth site concept. And I mentioned it at the Prudential conference, and he mentioned it at a Remax conference, and we were both part of Howerprint and Star Power Systems. We both mentioned it there. About 10 or 20 agents came up and said, can we get that? So I went to Galen Haas, that's his name, my partner, and we hired a techie and said, let's kind of start a little company, just build a few of these, and it's kind of like, let's pay for our own habits, so to speak, our own tech habits. And we did. And those people told people that told people that told people that told people. And now we have a very successful company called RealPro Systems. And we have over 40 employees and several thousand clients using our systems, which would be websites, Facebook pages, stealth sites, so on and so forth. And what I've found is that it gives us much more credibility to our clients if Galen and I stay out there as top producing realtors. Because we're not necessarily a company just selling websites. We're actually a couple of realtors selling websites that work. So we're able to tweak and find things that match the current market, such as the Facebook business pages right as of this recording. That'll change next year. It'll be probably Google Circles or something like that. So my affiliation with that is that I'm a one-third owner, as is Galen, and I'll spend probably a total of about 8-10 hours a week dealing with that. So I do need the team, and part of what I've told my team is, look, I'm involved with this other company. We actually have somebody run it for us, one of our other, who's now a partner. But I'm involved with this company, and using this website is what gets us leads. So they support me because they know that that also is the mouth that feeds them. So it works quite well. I'm able to balance the two reasonably well.
You do spend time in that other company, so about 10 hours per week, but somebody else is running it on a day-to-day basis. What tasks are you working on in that other company?
I'll do some coaching calls and stuff. I attend conferences on their behalf and speak. I'm requested quite often around the country to speak on technology. And so I'll go out there, and we'll, of course, we'll have a booth there at the time and so on. So, you know, you live in Portland, Oregon, and you're going to Florida. It's a 6-hour flight to Atlanta and a 2-hour flight from Atlanta. So it's a day going there and a day coming back and the day there. So, you know, that sort of stuff takes time. What we've found of late is that realtors have kind of been ignoring their web presence for the last several years. And all of a sudden, we've got a lot fewer agents out there, and the ones that are left are more business people. And the business people are looking at it and saying, holy cow, I haven't changed my presence in 4 years. I still got my high school photo on there. Yeah, we need to do something differently. And they're looking more now into business lead generation systems rather than just a website. I mean, we talked about these self sites. Let's think about it for a second. What is a website? Basically, it's some guy holding a business card up in cyberspace saying, come find me. So really the way to think about these things now is lead generation systems.
And if somebody wanted to learn more about RealPro Systems, where would they go?
www.realprosystems.com. If they want to look at what the sites are like, mine obviously is the RealPro site, and that's www.roblevy.com, and that's L-E-V-Y like tax levy.
And you mentioned one of your stealth sites. I'm trying to remember one of those names.
Several. PortlandMLS.net would be a buyer stealth site. OregonBankOwned.com would be a bank-owned stealth site. The callers are welcome to go there and fill out the form and see what happens. The only thing I'd ask is that you just put a comment in there that that's what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to have one of my buyer's agents calling you trying to bug you to buy a house in Portland.
So maybe in their name, they'll say bogus.
Yeah.
Rob, what drives you?
I don't like to disappoint people. I'm a very moral person. I've used the same escrow officer for 23 years, extremely loyal, and I don't like to disappoint people. So I work very hard to make sure that I do a very, very good job. On a personal level, you know, the sky is always blue for me. I'm just one of those people where I'm pretty much always happy. As I mentioned, I grew up living in many countries, so I'm definitely a traveler. My wife and I have a vacation home on the Oregon coast and one in Palm Springs, and my desire is to spend time there. No, I don't necessarily get away from work. We've got Wi-Fi in each place and broadband internet and our iPads and stuff like that. But, you know, going out there and relaxing and stuff is what drives me. And probably the thing I'm most grateful for, to be honest, is I've done a super job of raising three boys. That's probably what I'm the proudest of. So, you know, having the family around, enjoying vacation time, enjoying time together with my family and friends, that's what drives me the most.
Why are you successful?
I think that I enjoy what I do. I think I'm good at what I do for the most part. And I think people see that. And I think success breeds success. And people are happy to refer me to other people because I don't always do my job right, but I try very hard and I surround myself with quality people. I can't take credit for it all. It's the quality people around me that really add to that, whether that be my friends, my associates, or my team.
Do you invest in real estate?
I do. My wife and I own many rentals, several of which we wish to hell we'd never bought. But I'm a big believer in rental real estate. My kids were put through college based on the rents that my tenants paid me. I think it's really interesting you bring this question up, and I realize this interview is being done in 2011, and people may hang on to it for years. But the reality is the way that you look at residential rental real estate, I think, has changed, because we don't know that the appreciation is always going to be there. We've just had that slapped in our face a few times over the last few years. But as a for instance, you can buy $100,000 houses now that used to be $200,000, and they're easy to rent because so many people have lost their homes. So you're getting some good rents coming in. So let's say you buy a house for $100,000. As an investor, you've got to put 25% down, so it's $25,000, and you're getting $1,000 a month coming in. You know, do the math. At today's interest rates, that's like a $450 a month positive cash flow. So the way that I'm starting to look at rental real estate now is if you take that positive cash flow and you throw it back onto the mortgage, you've got that sucker paid off in 8.5, 9 years. So do I care if my $100,000 house has gone up 9 years from now? No. Let's just say 9 years from now, it's still only worth $100,000. Somebody just gave me $75,000 for the $25,000 I put into it with little or no risk. And all of a sudden, even if my rents never go up, they're paying me $1,000 a month in rent. And I've written off the interest, and I've written off the taxes, and I've depreciated the house. To me, that's a fantastic place to put my money right now, versus in the bank, the stock market, or something like that. So you bet, I'm a big believer in rental residential real estate.
Rob, if you were to advise a brand new agent just getting into the business, what would you tell them to do first?
Run fast. Now, the truth is, this is a great time to get in the business. I think that there's been weeded out as to the people that were just, the players that were just in the game for the short run are all gone. And the people that are left are quality business people. So the first thing that I would advise is 88% of your buyers are on the internet. Immediately arm yourself. Understand technology. Understand DocuSign. Understand websites. Get yourself a really good web presence. Start marketing yourself as an expert, because you really are an expert because you've got IDX and all of the listings displaying on your site. Once you get a website, go out there and talk to other agents in your office. Because if you remember, if I listed your house today, Mike, it's not Rob Levy listing your house. It's Prudential Northwest Properties is listing your house. So I could go to other agents in my office and say, do you mind if I put your listing on my website? So all of a sudden you've got some inventory on your website. Start doing open houses to pick up buyers. Start getting your name out there in various places. Stay away from the print advertising. That's my personal opinion. And you'll do fine. But I think the key there is understanding and being able to use technology. I don't consider myself a hugely smart person. I didn't go to college. But I can learn from what other people are doing and adapt and use that myself. And just like some people from this call are going to take some of the things I just talked about and apply that to their market, I do the same when I listen to your interviews with other people and say, what a great idea. How can I apply that to my market? And by the way, you talked about the new agent. I think that's a differentiator between successful agents and non-successful agents. Some say, that'll never work in my market. And I think the successful agents say, how could that work in my market? And that's the difference right there.
Well, Rob, you certainly answered the question, how can that work in my market? You have a rare gift. You can combine nerdy technology with a charismatic personality. Your openness and inquisitive mind have propelled your business forward and amplified your success. Thank you again for being our top agent of the month.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club, where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.